That Sober Guy podcast contains adult content, merciless truth, and emotional nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
I'm Shane Ramey. You're listening to That Sober Guy podcast, and we help people stay sober. If it's your first time listening, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here today. If you're looking to cut back or quit your drinking habits, we have one of the best 30-day alcohol-free challenges out there. It's helped hundreds of men all over the country quit drinking alcohol, become better fathers, better leaders, better husbands, better entrepreneurs, all kinds of good stuff. And you can sign up today. You can check out all of our other podcasts and our resources by going to thatsoberguy.com. And then be sure to follow us on Instagram at thatsoberguy.com. And another quick note, I'm starting to upload some more of the podcast in the video format on YouTube. So if you want to go over to our YouTube channel, you can find us on there. I think that's also in the profile, the link tree on at That Sober Guy podcast on Instagram. I don't know why, but for some reason, I feel like saying right now in this moment before I introduce Joel today, I've still never heard anybody say, my habitual drinking habits have really improved my life. And I'm still waiting for the day to hear that. And I've yet to hear it. So I'm going to keep rolling alcohol free and doing my best. And I hope y'all do the same out there. Excited to have our guest today, Mr. Joel Staley. And he's been on the podcast once or twice before, I think. And it's great to have him back. Joel, how are you, man?
Fantastic, brother. Thanks for having me, Shane.
Oh, yeah. Always a pleasure, dude. Always enjoy chatting with you. You got a lot of stuff going on and recently just hit 1 year sober, baby. Good job, man. How's that going?
It's been a real game changer. And so that was actually a couple months ago. I'm now just over 14 months. And honestly, dang, I don't see myself breaking it anytime soon.
Yeah. Yeah, congratulations, man. That's a huge accomplishment. I know it's not easy. Even when I don't remember when it was. We talked probably 6 months ago, maybe roughly. And I remember you were kind of in the middle of it, and you were debating, like, or maybe debating is the wrong word, but you were just kind of considering. I don't know if I'm going to go back or not. I'm just kind of doing my thing right now and taking it the old one day at a time thing. And dude, you hit a year, and dude, that's awesome, man. No going back.
Well, I have one of those personality types, Shane, the entrepreneurial. I just don't like to be told what to do.
Yeah.
And what's kind of crazy is that even when I tell myself not to do something, I don't like taking orders for myself. It's weird. It's like, it's almost like my psyche's been cut in half. And I didn't know this was a thing. It's actually pretty common amongst a certain type of people. But so when I tell myself I can't drink, there's that constant just negotiation in my head of like, dude, what do you mean you can't drink? You can't just go have one drink.
Yeah.
Committed to a year.
Yeah.
I just know from doing a lot of research and watching videos from people that have done a dry year before, and people talking to people on the streets that have done a dry year. Everyone who goes back to drinking, even if it's subtly at first, always seems to regret it.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed, man. Always. Yeah. I haven't really met anyone either. It was like, yeah, I'm really happy. I'm really happy that I went back to my old ways and habits. You know, there's just not a lot of positivity. I don't really see in that decision. Yeah. Crazy, man. I just realized I didn't give you a proper info, mention the podcast. You're a fitness coach. Just get, like, for those maybe who didn't catch you on the first one, give us a quick little rundown of what you do, Joel.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. So I'm big into self-development. Before the not drinking aspect, fitness has always been the low-hanging fruit that I think guys can attack. So I'm a fat loss coach primarily for husbands and men's and fathers, you know, that have a lot on their plate and don't necessarily want to meal prep 6 meals a day or tediously track calories and macros just to get into shape. So fitness coach, I've been doing that for about 5 or 6 years. And then, also I have a podcast called Winners Win, which is just, again, in the self-development category.
Nice. Love it, man. Hey, I'm getting some popping and some weird little background stuff on your audio track. Do you know can you see if it's maybe like a loose cable or something, or I don't know, it's strange.
You know what? Is this any different?
Still doing it. Weird.
I've never connected to what you got me on here. Let me see if I hit this gear.
Did you open in Google? In Chrome? I wonder if that's could be it. Man, dude, I've been having the worst luck with tech stuff the last couple days. Like, I had some issues yesterday.
Is this any better?
Yeah, that seems better. Okay, cool.
Okay.
Perfect, yeah. Audio stuff, man, drives me crazy sometimes. But okay, looks like we got it figured out. All good. We'll keep rolling. So the Winners Win podcast, I love that too, because like that, taking that winning mindset, and I wanted to ask you this too, like the winner's mindset isn't about, well, I'm asking you this, I guess, is the winner's mindset just about always winning, or is it like finding the wins in even like the times that we fail or like the challenges and stuff too? Because I feel like it's kind of like a whole package, you know, like in everything that we do in life.
Yeah, it's funny. When you think about winning, you think, all right, I have a ripped six pack. I have hundreds of thousands of dollars in my bank account, smoking hot wife. Everyone treats me like a king. I'm just crushing it. That's been the biggest thing about not drinking for me is even when it. So I just had a client dump me right before this call. It's like, really? Man, this was supposed to be a client that was around for a long time and they canceled 1 month in. And oh, just wow. Like, stuff still happens, but at the end of the day, if I can rest my head on the pillow at the end of the night and know that, dude, I remember waking up in the morning every morning with this like whiskey on my breath and constantly saying I was going to quit and not being able to. So even if shit's going to happen no matter what, that's just kind of life. I think we're here to like evolve and learn from those things. And there's actually been a quote that's been in my head quite a bit lately. And it's like, I don't pray that God makes my life easy, but I pray that he makes me strong enough to be able to bear whatever gets thrown at me.
Yeah, that's good.
Winning is essentially being able to roll with the punches, but focusing on what you can control about your own life. And like I was saying, being able to go to bed at night and wake up in the morning, not having that stale leftover Maker's Mark taste in my throat, knowing like, oh dude, I did it again. Fuck, I'm stuck in this perpetual loop.
Yeah.
That's winning to me. And whether I can't control if a client backs out or if something at work happens or something happens over here. All I can control is what I'm doing and what I'm not doing.
Yeah.
And so just being proud of the decisions you're making, that's winning in my opinion.
Oh yeah, that's good, dude. That's a well put, man. There's like life's going to throw crazy stuff at us sometimes. And I think having that attitude of winning in a sense like helps to kind of keep us in that same space of being grateful just for, you know, where we're at, what we do have, the family. There's lots of things that we can show that gratitude for because it's easy to point out the negative stuff, you know. So yeah, man. So let's talk a little bit about fitness now, man. Like, how big is that played into? I mean, just being able to stay away from the alcohol, like stay on somewhat of a healthy, balanced plan. I know there's a lot of dudes out there who, including myself, back in the day when I was still drinking, like it was hard to be healthy. Because even when I would try to be, I would still revert back to the alcohol on the weekend. And then it was like, almost like you said, that habitual cycle. So like, speak to the dudes out there who are looking for some of that, maybe that fitness, health and wellness, but maybe they're kind of stuck still drinking, even if it's just on the weekends or something.
Yeah. So I remember the first time I heard the term escapism and it just hit me. And it wasn't even in context to drinking. I was listening to some book, trying to bond with my wife called like something about crawdads or something. And the lady said she had an affair and it was a form of escapism. And as soon as I heard the term escapism for the first time, I remember it hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm like, dude, that's my drinking, man. That's why at 5 o'clock every day, as soon as the kids come home and as soon as I'm done with work, it's like, all right, first thing is pour whiskey as I'm making the dinner and then just kind of sip on that all throughout the night. And then it's kind of like I'm fast forwarding throughout the night till I can wake up and start working again. And the escapism is, it almost seems to be a part of human nature, and there's really no getting around it. You should practice mindfulness and meditation and being present in the moment. That's the ideal, what you should strive for.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I still, at some point, I'm just like, dude, there's too much going on right now. I need to escape. And instead of doing it in a couple tumblers full of, basil, Hayden, or whatever it is, I just like to get out to the gym. And I call it my iron therapy. Go bang some weights around. You leave, you get the endorphins pumping. And instead of waking up like hungover like you do, you feel like $1 million afterwards.
Yeah.
So it's been a great replacement for me.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Something to do, something positive to do, getting some of that energy, some of that, even if you're having any anxiety or a rough day, like, so today I'll have, a little shoulder workout, and then I'll incorporate some heavy bag conditioning on just a little boxing just to roll with it, dude. And that's like, I always look forward to Thursdays, 'cause that's like my day where I can get some cardio in, and man, I feel so good afterwards. I feel just like complete almost, you know? All right. I have a selfish question for you, 'cause I know that you're into fasting. I'm fasting from 8 p.m. to noon, like the following day, right? Is that a long-term solution, I guess, to like trimming up, reducing fat and becoming cut, I guess, a little more in shape, a little more looking good, feeling good? I know you're a proponent of fasting. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, big proponent of fasting. I typically enjoy the longer fast, so like 36 hour plus. I mean, 24s is cool too, but 36 is that, when you got.
I'm getting that clicking again.
Start. Test. Am I clicking?
Okay. You're good. Check one. Check two. sound okay. It stopped now. I don't know, dude. That's so weird. Okay, so we're talking about fasting, and
So. I'm typically a proponent of the longer fasts. I've found that, honestly, the first 24 hours of any fast is by far the toughest, and there's the least benefits to it. Mm. So let's say I start a fast on Sunday night. It's 6 o'clock after dinner. Then typically 6 o'clock Monday night is going to be the toughest point. You're 24 hours in. You want to eat. It's nighttime. Willpower's low. But if you can push it and go to bed Monday night and wake up Tuesday morning at about 36 hours in, dude, you could fast essentially forever.
Really?
Your body's a fat-burning machine. There's all these health benefits, anti-cancer benefits. And so I actually did a 7-day fast a couple months ago with a buddy, and it's always that first 24 hours is the toughest. And people think you're going to lose muscle or you're going to slow your metabolism down.
Yeah.
It's all nonsense, man. It really does seem to be, especially for guys with a busy schedule, the key to being able to burn fat very quickly.
So two questions. Do you use any like salts, I'll use Relight like to help with just, you know, energy or whatever, but also how do you still lift or do an intense workout if you're fasting? 'Cause sometimes I feel sick or whatever. You know, or not, just I just don't feel up to par.
Yeah, definitely use electrolytes. So magnesium, potassium, and sodium. So whatever you're using sounds like it's the combination of the three.
Yeah.
I use one called Ultima. It's a good one. There's a bunch of them out there. But essentially, man, I found that it takes a couple of days of fasting or a couple times of fasting for your body to make the correlation that it doesn't need to use stored carbs for workouts, but it can actually tap into body fat instead. So we typically tell our clients it takes about a week or so and to still hit their workouts, but go probably about 75-80% of their normal intensity.
Got it.
And something about that week in, their body makes that switch to burning fat for fuel, and workouts are not only, I mean, as good as they've ever been, but actually better.
Oh, wow. So you're just adjusting basically. You're giving your body a little bit of time to adjust to that. And then once you kind of fight through that first week or so, you tend to get on a more regular schedule and feel a little more normal. Okay. Good stuff, dude.
Yeah, because if you think about it, everybody fasts. That's what breakfast is, break fast. If you're sleeping for 6 hours a night, you're fasting for 6 hours. So instead of I'm either tracking calories or I'm not, or I'm either eating carbs or I'm not, or, you know, carnivore diet, I'm just eating meat or I'm eating other stuff, or most diets are very black and white, almost like a light switch. You're either on or off. Fasting is sleeping. So what's nice is if you want to, say, go to Mexico in 2 months, you can ramp that dial up to an 8 or 9 and start cranking out these longer fasts. Mm. Where once you get into maintenance mode, you can dial that back down to a 2 or 3 and just skip breakfast a couple times a week or whatever it is. So it's really malleable and customizable for people who want to not only drop body fat quickly, but also be able to maintain it without giving up all the foods that they actually, you know, like to eat.
So like a longer fast then would be like a 24-hour fast, like, or 30, I think you said 36 even, right? That seems like long.
Yeah, so 24, I'm typically doing 20 to 24-hour fasts. I generally like to wake up, get a workout in, work all day, and then what I said earlier, I'd have a whiskey at 5 o'clock. Now it's like, all right, cool, I can eat with the family from 5, cut it off by 8, 8:30, whatever, and then just repeat that. So that's very easy for maintenance, and I can eat essentially whatever I want, as much as I want. Now, if you were trying to lose 40 pounds or what have you, really getting into that second and even third day doing 48-hour fasts and 72-hour fasts, not only are you going to feel like $1 million once you make it to that second day, but the fat just literally melts off, and there's all kinds of health benefits associated with it.
If you do like protein shake in between, is that cheating? Is that not
while specific? You're fasting? Yeah. It'll negate a lot of the benefits.
Got it. Okay. So like strictly water, just like keeping it like that's it.
It's essentially like turning your digestive system off. Our digestive systems weren't really meant to run 24/7 and constantly be like, it's like having your oven on 24/7. Eventually something's going to break. It's not going to work as well.
Yeah.
Fasting is essentially just giving your digestive system a break and allowing it to repair itself And then you get this uptick of energy, because a lot of people don't realize that 30% of your energy comes from calories that you eat.
Oh, got it.
So, or burning calories or digesting food. So if you eat, 30% of your energy is automatically allocated to burning that food. Mm. So when you're fasting, you get this automatic uptick of about 30% extra energy. So you don't need as much coffee. You don't need like the Bang energy drinks and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You just naturally have more energy throughout the day. So you can play with your kids at the end of a long work day and do whatever you want with it.
That's crazy, man. Yeah, there's so much to it, but it's simple at the same time, it seems like. What I like too, what you mentioned too, for those out there listening, if you're interested in working with Joel or you just want some more info, we'll put all his info, of course, in the show notes for you. But excuse me, you mentioned that, you know, these plans and different clients that you work with, it's all customizable because everyone's a little bit different. Like at the end of the day, everyone has a little bit different goals. So you're kind of able to take someone who may have a specific goal in mind and kind of create a program based around their lifestyle, based around their schedule, based around their goals. Is that kind of how it works?
100%. So that's the problem with a lot of diets is they're very cookie cutter. So I'll have people reach out to me and they're like, well, I travel a lot. I got to meet clients for lunch or, you know, I'm a dad. I want to have dinner with my family. I don't want to be fasting through that. We have a saying in the Shed Fat Fast program, which is we work the fasting around your life, not your life around your fasting. Mm. So it's very easy. We just work in the fasting on days that you need to be extra productive, or we're not going to have you miss family dinners or vacations or lunches with clients. Those are like the non-negotiables. So we just work it around that. And you mentioned like a guide. I did put together a free guide. I call it my most incredible free gift ever, where it's legitimately everything you could ever need to know about fasting, free copy of my book, supplement guide that's fasting friendly. If anyone just, I don't know, adds me on Instagram or what have you, I'll gladly send it over to them.
Awesome, man. Yeah. And like I said, we'll put all your contact stuff in the show notes. So man, my voice, man, these morning interviews, I'm learning, man. My voice is, I'm already raspy as it is, but I'm like, so like coughing. I'm having to hit the cough button over here and stuff. Dude, I want to talk a little bit about like this, you know, 14 months now sober, like, you know, alcohol free, whatever, however you want to frame it up. Like what has worked for you well for, you know, the dudes out there listening who are like, man, you know, a year, like I've really strived to, like, there's a lot of guys who want to get to a year. Cause I've heard that often, you know, and it's challenging. Like, what are some of the things that have worked for you? What are some of the things that haven't? And then like, what tips would you give to dudes out there listening?
Dude, the main thing has been my daughter, Kennedy. She's 5 now. And even so, I still wasn't sure if I was going to drink after my dry year. And she was a lot of the reason I did this in the first place. Is she would ask me if I was drinking beer, even if I was drinking like a mineral water. And I was just, she was always watching me. She's like a little mini me.
Yeah.
But she has started, if we're walking through the grocery store and there's wine, she'll be like, ew, dad, beer. And she'll be like, boozers are losers. And I'm like, yeah, if you drink, you stink. And dude, she's been like my biggest proponent. And I can just tell that instead of normalizing constantly poisoning yourself, you know, because we were going to family parties and everyone's always drinking. And so it gets normalized at a certain point.
It does, yeah.
Instead, I can look back and say, everything else equal, my daughter looks at beer and she's like, gross.
Yeah.
So that, wow, that alone has been a fuel for me of like, there's no party that I feel like I need to drink at or any social engagement that I feel enough peer pressure that I want her to see me drinking. And then I have to be like, oh yeah, well, it's not that bad, girl. You know, drinking, it doesn't really mean you stink. Every once in a while, it's cool. I love when she says that shit.
Yeah.
It lets me know that I'm doing something right.
Totally, man. Oh, that's funny, dude. I like the little jokes, you know, too. I've never heard that. Boozers are losers, bro. So funny.
I always say, if you booze, you lose. If you drink, you stink.
If you drink, you stink. I keep hearing it, too, like in an Adam Sandler style voice. Boozer. I can't even do his voice, but like, boozers are losers, you know. That's funny, dude. And you know, you're showing her too that you know, there's another way. That normalcy bias that you mentioned, but you know, it's just so normal just to drink, or you know, like you said earlier, come home and I worked a hard day, that reward system. And showing them young that they don't have to go down that path is so important, you know. And ultimately at the end of the day, I'm very well aware, and I'm sure you are too, that like our kids are going to get faced with decisions on their own one day, whether they're teenagers or they get into their young, you know, young adults. But I hope that like in that, you know, they're able to come back to the things that we've showed them. Hopefully, you know, one day when your daughter, someone asks her to have a drink, she goes, boozers are losers, man, get out of here, you know, or if you drink, you know, she'll remember that stuff, man. And it's really important, man. And that's a very important, like, driving factor, I think, for a lot of people, their families. You know, you want some freedom from that. So, good stuff, dude. Any other tips? Like what's been tough? Let's start there. Like, what has been hard? And then how did you get through, any moment or situation that was like challenging for you? Like, what did you do?
Hardest parts have been, I've had a couple meetups with guys, like legitimately my clients. There's 15 grown men. We have an Airbnb down in Miami, this big old like mansion, and we got steaks on the grill and a pool, man, in the backyard. And then like there's tequila out and whiskey out and just all these things. It's like, man, especially because my year had just come to an end.
Oh wow.
So it wasn't even like I was on in the 11th hour or anything. It was like, yeah, I did what I said I was gonna do. I could just as easily drink. What helped me in that situation is another guy is taking a dry year, and I committed to him. I'm like, dude, in support of you, I'm not gonna drink. So that, nice, way you're not the only guy kind of in the environment not drinking. But that's the big one, being in environments when liquor's flowing and everyone's just pounding alcohol. Never easy.
Yeah.
So the environment's number one.
Yeah, dude.
Now those guys are all supportive. So that's helpful. If you're in an environment where it's your high school buddies or your coworkers, and they're like, dude, come on, just have a shot. Come on, drink.
Yeah.
Hey, he said he didn't want a shot, but get him a shot. Like, good luck. Good luck staying sober in that. So you got to get the hell out of that environment, number one.
Yeah.
That's I got to say that's the biggest one.
Yeah, exiting out, man, that exit plan is huge. We definitely encourage that one. Like, have a plan going into whatever situation you're facing. And I love, dude, that you're pointing out that kind of community service aspect too. Like, you had another dude there on your Florida trip who is not drinking too. And it's super, super important and like really powerful actually too, when you can be of support to somebody else, because when we're helping other people, we're helping ourselves. And sometimes we don't even realize it, you know? So having accountability and like that, you know, somebody you can call or lean on or whatever, man, that's huge. So, another great tip, man. What else is going down? What's the plan going ahead? You mentioned you're kind of over it. You're still going, and what's going down ahead as you move on?
Well, to go full circle, you asked about winning, and I said just being able to control yourself. Even we talked about Kennedy. She's 5 now. Even fast forward, I mean, God, I don't even want to speak this into the universe. Whatever. At the very least, I could look in the mirror and say, dude, she didn't get it from me. You know, like, I did everything within my power to try to veer her off that road.
Yeah.
It'd be a very different look in the mirror if I had my own substance abuse issues that I never tackled. And she grew up watching me drink every night and take an edible every night and sneak off to the garage and smoke weed every night. Mm. And then she found herself in that situation. Well, I would probably feel like a huge piece of shit and failure as a dad, because I didn't, like, the trauma cycle lived on through her. Whereas now I can at least say I have a little bit of experience. She's my daughter. I'm going to do anything I can to help pull her out of this. But at the end of the day, this was her decisions.
Yeah.
I did everything that I could to try to get her off this path.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, that's good, man. And I know we just got a couple of minutes before we got to hop off, but what about just real quick, being a dad? Like, how much has that been able to improve and grow? And
You kind of cut out there.
Yeah, I know. I had a couple of little drops from you too. The audio has been rough on this one today. So I don't know what it may be, just an internet connection. I'm not really quite sure, but I was saying, just, I know we got to hop off in just a couple minutes, but like, just about being a dad in general, like, cutting alcohol out, do you feel like that's really helped you just to be a better dad, a better husband, just period, just in general?
Dude, there was a time, I shouldn't admit this, especially on a huge podcast like you have, but this was during one of my, everyone always prefaces, I wasn't a drunk, I wasn't an alcoholic, but there were a couple times I got blackout drunk.
Mm.
And there was one time that I was just kind of like play fighting with Kennedy and her mom at the time, but I like threw her teddy bear at her and it like hit her in the face.
Mm.
Like with those eyeballs on that teddy bear is hard.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, no bullshit like that has happened since. I haven't done anything that I thought was drunk funny, you know, frat party funny at the time, but someone gets seriously like hurt from it.
Yeah.
I'm sure I did a bunch of dumb stuff and probably talked to her mom a certain way when I had a couple whiskeys in me that isn't productive for anyone. So, dude, night and day.
Yeah.
Night and day.
Oh, that's good, man. Well, back to how I said at the beginning, I've still never heard anyone say my habitual drinking habits have really improved my life. So there it is again. Yeah, good stuff, man. I know this is a short one today. I was a little late, man. So apologies about that. I really appreciate chatting with you, man. I know we'll definitely be doing it again sometime. So two things before we wrap up. Number one, just any last minute piece of advice for anyone out there listening who's just trying to kick alcohol. And then after that, where can folks find you? Where can folks reach out to you and get connected with you, Joel?
I would say definitely keep following Shane. Shane, you've built a community. I know I'm part of it, of guys that are staying sober, holding each other accountable. So find an environment that's productive and conducive with your goals. Mm. That's number one.
You know, they say if you don't want a haircut, stay out of the barber shop. You can't be hanging out with the guys that are drinking every night and whatnot. You got to associate with guys who prioritize sobriety and self-development.
Yeah.
So that's big. Make sure you have those guys. If not in person, then virtually. Ideally, you have both. Yeah, if anyone wants to connect with me, just add me on Instagram. That's where I hang out the most. Just Joel Staley Fitness. And like I said, if you comment to me on there, I'll send over that gift if you're curious about fasting or what have you.
Yeah, perfect, man, perfect. And once again, we'll put all those links in the show notes so they're very easy for you to find. Joel, it's been great to have you on the podcast again, man. Appreciate you. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, brother.
Thanks for tuning in today. I hope something spoke to you. Share the podcast with a friend. Connect us on Instagram @ThatSoberGuyPodcast. Peace, love, and respect. Keep your blood clean.